This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gil Dierman and Lakeshore Christian Fellowship in TDK, South Carolina. For more information, visit us online at lakeshorecf.com.
Isaiah chapter 9 is where we're at. Today is not only the last Sunday of 2018, but it also happens to be the last study in this particular series, Behold and Believe. And we've been tracking with this idea. It's really important that you catch this principle. We've been tracking with this idea that there's this truth in the Bible that says, whatever you can see is what you are able to receive from the Lord. If you don't know that he's your resource, then you won't be able to receive finances from him. If you don't know that he's your healer, then you won't lean in and be able to receive health and healing from him. If you don't know that he's generous and he's your counselor for wisdom, you won't lean in and ask him any questions. But if you can begin to see all of the things that Jesus came to be to us, then you can receive all that Jesus has for you, and you can begin to live life to the full the way that Jesus said. Some people have said, you know, as soon as we make that statement, wait a minute, the Bible says that we're to live by faith, not by sight. Well, it is illustrating the same principle, but on the other side of the coin. We don't live by what we can see in the natural. We don't live by just by what circumstances say. We don't live by limitations. We don't live even by what our own thoughts and our own visionary abilities limit us to. We go by what the Word of God says. And if God's Word says something, it expands our ability to see what God wants to do, to see something that's not in the circumstances yet, but we say, okay, that would be awesome, and if you say so, then that's what we're going to begin to lean into. And if you can see that God wants to do it, that God can do it, that God will do it for you, then you're open, you're beginning a place in faith, and you're opened up to be able to receive from the Lord. This is especially true when it comes to these really dense or intense seasons of life, like holidays. Because even though Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 is two of the verses that we are the most excited about, we're the most comfortable with, we're the most, it's most published at Christmas, we don't always think through what it's trying to say. We get caught up in the Christmas culture and everything else. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's important that we recognize what God wants to do right here at the beginning of the year as we move into the new year. So I'm going to start in Isaiah chapter 9, 6. Chapter 9, verse 6, and I'm just going to read, and we're going to finish this verse off, and you're going to catch something that will prepare you for New Year's today. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Now, let me just stop. Most Christians grab that part, because that's a reference to Jesus coming as the Son of God to be the Savior of the world, John 3:16. Right? He's coming. If we'll believe in him, then we can have eternal life. But the verse goes on and says, "And the government will be upon his shoulders." This is a reference to the fact that Jesus didn't come just to be our Savior, but he also came to be our Lord. Now, that's not a great word for a lot of people, because right away they have this picture of a harsh taskmaster, but that's not at all how the Bible describes him. It says, no, this Lord, or this person in charge that's come to direct your life and to frame things in, this is what it looks like when you let him govern your life. It says, "And his name will be called," or in other words, when he steps into this lordship position and people begin to experience what it's like when Jesus is in charge, this is what the people are going to say. This is not just what God called him. This is what the people are going to say. "And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So there's five different descriptions. And this is what the people that have experienced the government of heaven under the lordship of Jesus, unlike today's politics, when they take the polls, the approval rating is way up. The approval rating says, oh, he's wonderful. Oh, my goodness, he's a counselor. He always knows what to do. Oh, he's a mighty God. He's an everlasting father. He's the Prince of Peace. The tallies are in, and this is what people say when they experience the lordship of Jesus. Well, of course, Isaiah was prophesying hundreds of years before Jesus was born, But God said, no, I'm telling you that this is what's going to happen. And now we can validate this is exactly what has happened. We have historical documents. We have Christian contemporary history. And we have our own lives to say, no, that's exactly right. Whenever I'm living for the Lord and I'm living in His will and His parameters, I'm telling you, life just moves forward. It moves up. It moves into deeper places. It's much more fulfilling. And I can tell when I'm not. So here's what we've been doing in this series. We've been going through each of these descriptions and reopening our eyes to what does that mean when we lean in and let Jesus be our Lord? How does that improve or increase our life and our ability to move forward and live life to the full like He promised? And we've finished three of them so far. We looked at them individually. We looked at the term wonderful. And we started with the concept that God, who created everything, would even come down and be born a human and actually dwell among us and be able to turn around and say, I get it. I know what it's like to be a human. And so I'm going to now govern, or I'm going to be your Lord based on my sensitivity to that. And just the fact that Jesus, Emmanuel, really is with us, that's this mind-blowing thing. And that's where we get the word wonder or wonderful, especially in the Hebrew. It means something that's so extraordinary that it's literally beyond our ability to wrap our head around. We just can't understand this. As much as we try, we'll never completely understand it. And the more we recognize it, it keeps us in this perpetual state of wow. Like, what? Wow, wow. And the Bible says that's going to go on all throughout eternity in heaven. Heaven's not going to be a boring place. Heaven's going to be a perpetually inspiring, exciting place because of the wonders of God that we'll see. But it's also important to recognize this word wonderful is not just a standalone. It's also the first description that now folds over the other four. So everything that comes after that is in this state of wonder. In other words, Jesus is going to exceed our expectation or exceed your ability to really be able to know just how good God is. And the second area that He's complimented on is He's a counselor. So understanding the Lordship of Jesus, as many as some Christians are fearful or insecure about submitting their life to the Lord because He's going to tell me to do stuff I don't want to do, and it's like, no, you don't understand. His Lordship will put you in a state of wonder. His Lordship will put you in a state of, man, I just didn't realize it could be this good. In fact, Paul wrote that in Ephesians 3:20, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far beyond anything you've ever asked, not just your asks, that you've ever thought about. God, he is able to exceed that. And the counsel of Jesus, the trusted guidance, the inexhaustible wisdom, he's never caught short. He always knows exactly what to do. And this accurate, laser-focused truth. If you'll do this, it won't kind of sort of work. It'll work exactly the way it's supposed to, and it'll exceed your expectations. The Bible says following the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ will exceed your expectation. Will just leave you in awe, like, wow, I didn't realize that it could be this good. Then, as we listen to and we follow after the Lord's wisdom, we get to experience Him as a mighty God. And we heard about that in the last Sunday's teaching, that represents a conquering hero, somebody who didn't just triumph over sin and death, but now leads us in triumph in every situation in our life. We never have to worry about losing. We're the winners. In fact, the Bible calls us more than conquerors. It means like superheroes, super conquerors, not in our own strength, but through Christ, who will lead us and who fills us and who provides for us. And so that's why Jesus promised life to the full, because He's able to back it up. He's got the muscle. He's got the resource. He's got the wisdom, the prowess, but He's got the influence. And He said, I'll make sure that it happens just the way I said. So that's the wonder. The wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God. Today we're going to look at the last two descriptions, and it's everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And if you'd like to take notes, I'm going to give you three really practical, really relevant truths that will help us to grab hold of this as we take this into the new year. So when Isaiah uses the term everlasting Father, let me tell you what he's not saying, because that's really important. He's not talking about the Heavenly Father. Remember, he's describing the child that was born, the son that was given. He's talking about the lordship of Jesus. And he calls Jesus the everlasting Father, not because he's confused who's the heavenly Father and who's Jesus. Not even really because, well, they're all part of the Trinity, so, you know, we serve one God. And it's not that. He's trying to describe the fact that the love and the leadership that Jesus will provide is not just a job. It's not just a professional responsibility. It's not just what he does because, you know, he's God and he's committed and he has to do that. But it comes with all of the heartstrings tied to it, like a healthy parental love would. It comes with all the care and all the patience and all of the nurturing and everything that a healthy relationship with an earthly father would. In fact, everything that would reflect our heavenly Father, Jesus carries that with him into this particular role. And so if you like to take notes, the first thing you have to realize about Jesus' lordship as an everlasting Father is Jesus' lordship is personal. It's personal. Listen, there's nothing in ego. There's nothing about, you know, him, I'm the boss. You're not boss of me. I'm the boss of you. You'll never sense anything like that from Jesus. As you move into a relationship with him, if you're hearing that, if that's the kind of tones that you're experiencing, then let me tell you, it's from wrong teaching, it's from religious notions, it's from other areas. It's not from the Lord, because he's not that kind of a Lord. He's a loving heavenly Father. Will he address issues in truth? Yes, he will, but because he loves you, because he cares about you, because he wants the best for you. And so he'll always talk in hopeful terms. He'll always talk in positive, faith-filled terms. He'll never just rip you apart and condemn you and make you feel like he's pushing you to the side any more than a healthy heavenly father or a healthy earthly father would do that. In fact, listen to a couple of scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 has all these nuances in it that helps us to hear the fatherly heart that Jesus carries. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. It's always very important to God that he's recognizing this fatherly attribute, families, the relationship, the ties in the leadership and the provision and the protection. That's really important theme all the way through the Bible, one that our culture is losing its grip on. He goes on and he says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir over all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and listen to this part, and the express image of his person. The express image of his person. Jesus repeated this truth, this idea over and over again. In fact, one of my favorite places that really helps it to jump is in John chapter 8. Jesus is talking to some religious leaders. They're asking him a question, and I'm going to paraphrase, but here's what Jesus said. I think it's around verse 25 or verse 26, but he says this. Oh, I have a lot of thoughts about that. I have a lot of opinions about that. I can tell you know, what I would say and how I would measure that, but he went on and said this, but I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Which means that there was a human side of Jesus where, yeah, he had his opinions, he had his feelings, but he was committed to say, but I don't want you to see me as a man, I want you to see the heart of the Heavenly Father, so I'm going to stay with how he looks at it and with what he said to do. And this is the commitment that the Father said when Jesus was sent, he would be the expressed image. You would look at Jesus and how he lived, how he talked, how he thought, how he processed, and you would say, that's how the Heavenly Father thinks about things. That's exactly how he does it. And so he goes on and he says he's going to be the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. That describes his lordship. Here's another one in Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. It says, but now thus says the Lord who created you. And I want you to think about Genesis 1:1. I want you to think about the father, the biological process that a father is part of in creating children, because that's the father's heart here. He says, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, And he who formed you, the nurturing, the shaping, the investing into the life of the children, not just bringing home a paycheck and watching TV, but he's part of the lives of the children. He's coaching them. He wants them to develop the way God wants them to. It says, who created you, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. There's another fatherly characteristic that whenever you get in trouble, whenever you're in a spot, dad bails you out. Dad's the one who comes and foots the bill. Trust me, I know. That's what dads do, okay? They come to the rescue and they say, that's okay, we can fix this. And they're the ones that will help you to get back on top. He says, I have called you by your name. Fathers have the privilege of being involved in naming their children. And he says, you are mine. One of the greatest attributes a father can have is to claim his children. Every once in a while, I hear a parent say, whose son are you anyway? And I think, I wouldn't even hint around about that. On their worst day, in their worst moment, it's so important as dads, we say, listen, you're a little rascal, but you're my rascal. You belong to me, and I will never walk away from you. In fact, that's what he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So you hear that and you think, we're going through hard times here. There's rivers and floods and fires, and God's sticking right there. The dad's right there to protect and carry them through. There's not mention of whether it's their fault or somebody else's fault, or that's just the world we live in. The point is, it doesn't really matter. Dads walk through. I'll tell you the other things that I really appreciate about a fatherly love is the fact that they're willing to be patient. This is not just nuts and bolts. This is not a financial ledger. This is not following some cultural checklist about, you should be at this point in your life. But dads are patient. Dads are gentle. Dads are always leaning in and recognizing where are they at in the development of this whole thing. And the Bible has a number of scriptures that talk about just how loving and how gentle our Heavenly Father is as he moves us along. Psalm 103 is one of my favorite psalms. But verse 14 caught me off guard the first time I really caught it. It talks about the fact that God is so patient and so sensitive and gentle with us. It says, because he knows our frame and he remembers we're made of dust. And when I first read it, I thought, well, you made me out of dust. That's your fault. You could have made me out. But that wasn't the point he was making. He's not trying to degrade us. He's trying to recognize, I know exactly where you are. I know your fragile points. I know how far that I can move you before that's too far. And he said, and I'm not here to test your limits and help you know that you really need me. That it's not my point is not to prove how strong I am. My point is to prove how loving I am and to help you to move forward in confidence knowing I've got your back. I've got your back. I was thinking about that this Christmas. We had the privilege of, having our family around the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, and I'm watching Brandon and Janie and the three little kids, our grandkids now, and everything they're doing, I'm remembering and reflecting back. It seemed like about a minute ago that my three kids were about that age and they were doing all that. And then watching, as there had to be some gentle correction without ruining the Christmas moment, but there's coaching, hey, did you say thank you? Hey, that's not your present, that's somebody else's. Hey, that's Evelyn's toy, that's not your toy. Hey, we can't play with that right now. We got to open a couple more presents. You can play with that in just a minute. All those coaching things. But I just remembered as I watched Brandon and Jenny and as they were just moving through, and I thought, oh my goodness, they're going to be better parents than we ever were. Because they were very sensitive to the fact that they're talking to a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. And at one point, we had to stop the whole Christmas event because, the little guy who's not even 1-year-old decided, I need to eat now. Well, how inconsiderate, right? But he's not even 1 year old, so we're sensitive to that. And if he needs to eat, he needs to eat. Everything stops until he's done eating. Okay, he's smiling, he's cooing, he's happy. And so we'll write back to the rest of the program. God is the same way with us. He's the same way. By the way, some of you need to understand that. Because we're not moving into 2019 with a list of things we'd like to see change because starting Tuesday, the 1st of January, we're going to be this. No, if that's your mentality, you're going to fail. We're moving through with some things with sensitivity, saying, this is who I want to become. And this year, I'm going to take another step towards that. Maybe I'll make it all the way. Maybe I'll make it halfway. Maybe I'll just take the first couple of steps. But I have a Heavenly Father who gets it. And He's not trying to make me a high schooler when I'm still in elementary school. He's not requiring me to be a grad student when I'm still trying to figure out the middle school science project, spiritually speaking. He knows exactly where I'm at, and He's a Heavenly Father, and He's moving me along this journey in growing in Him and growing into His plan. These things are very, very important. Now, let me show you one more thing. He didn't just say that He was our Father, Jesus was a Father. It says He was an everlasting Father. That's a really important part not to forget, because here's what it means, that His fatherly care is not here and there, hit and miss, every once in a while when you've had a really good week in journaling and He's proud of you and you did a good job, so He's going to be a really great dad, but otherwise He walks away from you. No, remember, fire, water, flood, He doesn't leave, He's right there. And this everlasting fatherly care means that His heart as a father, His willingness to stick next to you and to be proud of you, even in your ugly moments, it's never, ever going to leave. It's everlasting. It's all the time. It's forever, which leads to the second truth that it's really important. Number two, Jesus' lordship is permanent. I don't mean that in a legalistic sense. I don't mean that in a, He's always the boss, I never get any say-so. If that's your kind of experience with God, with the Lord Jesus, you don't understand Him. Constantly through the Bible, He's like, well, let's talk about that. Come on, let's reason together. Let's sit down and negotiate through this. And as you begin to do that, if your heart really is to understand what's best and what works to the fact that it exceeds your expectations, He's always right. And you finally get to the place where you say, why do I even challenge you? Even if that doesn't make sense, I'm doing it your way. Because at the end of this discussion, you know best, and you're only doing this for my well-being. But He's not this harsh taskmaster. He's just not. He's a dad that says, well, let's talk about it. I want you to understand what I'm asking you to do and why I'm asking you to do it, how it's going to impact. And so it's this everlasting Father. Now, that's really important, but it's also really challenging for a lot of people. We have a lot of people in our world, and especially given the way our culture has been going for the last 50 years or so, we have a lot of people in our world that have never, ever, ever experienced what healthy parenting feels like. They've never had that. They've come from a broken home. They've come from mom and dad. You know, every one of us as people, I'll speak for myself as a parent and now a grandparent, there's no such thing as a perfect parent or a perfect grandparent. We've all got our areas, we've all got our issues that God is helping us to work through. Hopefully we're growing and we're becoming more and more like Jesus, who is like the Heavenly Father, and we can reflect what's healthy. But there's a lot of people that come from really bad parental situations. And the reason that's such a tragic thing is not just because of your growing up years, but because that's the picture that you get on the inside when you start thinking about your Heavenly Father. You just assume that He's kind of like that. Even if you're able to make a distinction and say, no, my dad was terrible. He can't be like that. But it's too big of a gap for you just to, you know, automatically leap to understand how good He really is. That's a journey that you have to go on, okay? So I recognize that. And this is part of the reason why it's so important that you recognize, what does He mean when He says an everlasting Father? What does He mean when He's talking about commitment and ownership and nurturing and gentleness and patience and just nudging you along and letting you start again, try it again. I'm going to help you this time. You need to recognize all those things are who the heart of the Heavenly Father is, and you need to know that it's everlasting. It's not hit and miss. It's not every once in a while. It's on your worst day. Your Heavenly Father, your Lord Jesus Christ, is standing there with just as much love, just as much commitment, just as welcoming as He is on your best day. Because that's what dads do. But here's what the other point I want to point out that I've experienced. Even if you had a parental experience that you would consider to be positive, that you would consider to be nurturing, even if that's the case, if you live long enough on the earth, eventually dad goes home to be with the Lord. And I experienced this firsthand about 17 years ago My dad was not a perfect dad. I watched him grow in his faith, and he grew as a dad as we were growing with children. But I recognized 17 years ago when my dad, on February the 7th, went home to be with the Lord, almost immediately I could sense the vacancy. Almost immediately I could sense, I don't have a covering. I'm 40-something years old. I'm a full-grown man. I'm living on the other side of the country, right? I'm raising kids of my own, and we're making it. We're doing well. But I could still sense that I had a covering. I had a dad, a father, who, if I needed him, he was there. I could pick up the phone, and he's not going to be critical of me. He's going to listen to my heart, and he's going to say, well, let me talk to you about that. And he's going to help me find my way back to balance, find my way back to the Word of God, find my way back to my own confidence again. And the moment that he went home to be with the Lord, I could sense the vacancy. I could sense, wow, I really miss that. Not the personal exchange only, but the fact that I had something that was such a tremendous undergirding, a tremendous strength, a prayer covering at time, and I could feel it. It was gone. It left. And then it occurred to me, I'll never have to feel that with my Heavenly Father. Never. Not one day should ever go by as a Christian where you feel like you're by yourself. Not one day should ever go by as a Christian. Let me use this term loosely, okay? Well, I'm using it accurately, but I want to use it sensitively. That would have been a better choice. Not one day has to go by where you feel like you're an orphan. Where you feel like you're all alone in the world. Nobody really understands. Nobody really cares. Nobody's really willing to lay down whatever it takes in order to help you to move forward in your life. It's like the rest of the world's gone on and they've got their own busy schedules, but nobody really understands you. Listen to me, if you feel that I'm not saying the feelings aren't real, but the truth is not evident to you, because if you've accepted the Lord Jesus, he's your everlasting Father. He will never ever, not for one split second, leave you. In fact, the Bible says that he neither sleeps nor slumbers. It means he doesn't take a break. He doesn't daydream. He doesn't need to sleep at nighttime. So while you're sleeping, he's watching you. Did you know that the book of Zephaniah says that while you're sleeping, that he dances over you with song? I remember when Brandon was just a little guy, and I didn't even know the scripture was in there. But I remember he's a little guy that I was a real light sleeper, and so oftentimes, you know, Debbie's had a rough day and she's taking care of the little guy and she's breastfeeding, and it just takes a lot, you know, a lot of mothering to labor intensive. And I'm at work and doing stuff. So in the middle of the night, Brandon would wake up and I would be the first one to hear him. And I would go in there. And I remember that sometimes I could tell that, you know, it's time for him to eat. Yeah, we're right about that time. And other times he's just not sleeping soundly. And I remember I would pick him up. And sometimes I'd be holding this little guy, my firstborn, my brand new little guy, right? And I'm just rocking in the room, and I'm singing. I'm humming to him. And I just remember what an incredible connection, what a loving moment. I almost look forward to being woke up in the middle of the night so that he and I could have that bonding time and nobody else was around. And I had no idea that's exactly what my Heavenly Father does until I read in Zephaniah. While we're sleeping at night, he cradles you, and he's singing songs of love, songs of faith, songs of deliverance, songs of victory. He's singing about who he's created you to be, the potential that he knows is still in there. While the world and circumstances is crashing down on us, we almost lose sight of all that. He says, yeah, but I never lose sight. I know who you are. Trust me, I'll get you there. That's what this everlasting Father is all about, and it's really, really important that we begin to recognize this. All right, let me give you one more. The Bible says not only did Jesus come to be our wonderful counselor, but as you listen to him and as you take his advice and you begin to follow him, then it enables him to be your mighty God. He can kind of roll up his sleeves and say, okay, if you're going to let me partner, then I'll take care of business. And he comes as the conquering hero. And he does things that we can't do. And he does them not just, you know, with this aggressiveness and this violence, like, get out of the way because he'll hurt you too. No, he's a father. He's an everlasting father. He's so aware. He's so sensitive of where we are in the process, and he moves us forward. And if we'll trust him in those things, when you begin to understand that he's a wonderful counselor, he's a mighty God, he's an everlasting father, then the last description almost seems obvious. It's like, well, yeah, sure. But we have to point it out because Isaiah calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. But it's important we realize the word peace here is the Hebrew word shalom. It's not talking about just the absence of problems, not just the absence of circumstance. You know, kind of what we dream about sometimes, man, if we could just get all this stuff going in the right direction and get all these things set, life would be awesome. And we almost get there, and then something just kind of comes unraveled. Oh, man, I was so close. But we're always trying to move forward. It's not that kind of peace where there's no challenges and everybody's happy and you're feeling fulfilled and you're rested, you got plenty of money in the bank. It's not that kind of peace. This particular word, shalom, literally means completeness. It carries the idea of being whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. But in this particular context, it's talking about the state of confidence that everything's in life is going to be okay, that it's all fully supplied. If I had to kind of put a playful song, you remember that song, you know, I don't know, 100 years ago, don't worry, be happy, that kind of, it's not talking about ignoring your problem. It's talking about when you begin to realize that you have someone in your life, a family member. In fact, he's your father, your heavenly father. And he's not just the savior of the world, he's in charge. He's the Lord of all the heavenly decisions and how the kingdom of God's functioning. And he's your heavenly father. He carries that love and that nurture for you. And you begin to realize that he's your wonderful counselor, that you can never have a conversation with him. He makes you feel silly, or I can't believe you asked that. We've been over this before. James chapter 1 says he'll always tell you what to do, and he'll give you greater insight than you even asked for without making you feel silly. He'll always do that. But he's not just a wonderful counselor. If you'll take his advice, he becomes the mighty God. There's not a problem. There's not a challenge. There's not a deficit in the world that you will ever face that God doesn't have an answer to put you way up on top, just like earthly dads would do for their kids. I don't know why we're like this, but if you're an earthly dad, there's something written in this code, and you just want your kids to do better than you did. It's a very unselfish thing to think about. You don't want to be the best, and I want them to be okay too. You want them to be better than you. That comes from our Heavenly Father. And Jesus is moving us. When you begin to understand that, and all of a sudden that dawns on you, like, well, then why am I worried? Who cares if I run into some wrinkles? I have a Lord that can take care of everything. I have a God that is so rich. I mean, he like literally owns everything. He's so generous with me. He's so wise. Doesn't matter if I'm the one that caused this and I screwed up again. He'll always welcome me into a conversation. He'll always forgive me, and he'll move me forward. When you begin to understand that, then I heard a professor say one time, in reality, there's no such thing as problems. There's only undiscovered answers. Now, I don't think that's true in a world philosophy, but I think that's absolutely true in the kingdom of God. 100% true. And so let me read you a few scriptures that will validate that. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace. It's actually peace. It means if peace is complete whole, it's complete completeness. It's a double entendre there so that we can really understand. It says perfect peace, but here's the catch. Whose mind is stayed on you, listen, because the circumstance is perfect. Because the circumstances, the answers come easy. They come quick. It's like an ATM machine. You can go talk to God and cha-ching, all the answer, you know, all the problems are solved and money shows up on your doorstep. No, that's not what brings peace. That's what helps a circumstance. He says the peace is because you trust him. You trust him. Isaiah 26, verse 12 says, Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our works in us. Isaiah 54, 10 says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills will be removed. That's talking about a huge earthquake, by the way, that the earth on its axis just violently shakes. It says, but my kindness, this is God talking to us, shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant, my commitment of peace be removed, says the Lord. Listen, some of you need to hear this today. Who has mercy on you? You're moving into a new year. God's not mad at you, whatever happened last year. I had a bad year. I don't know. He knows that too. But he has mercy on you. And his covenant of wholeness and of peace and of confidence is moving you into the next year. He says, all right, so last year was a bad year. Let's try it again this year. Because this year can be a great year. How many of you know one great year can completely wipe out five bad years? It's true, right? And that's what God's always pointing us to. Listen to Philippians 4:7. I'm going to start in the middle of the thought. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That's that wonderful, by the way. A kind of peace that doesn't even make sense. In fact, when you experience the peace of God in a crazy, horrendous situation, at times you'll almost be tempted to challenge yourself. Shouldn't I be panicking right about now? Shouldn't I be worrying right about now? People will say, that's irresponsible. You're not even thinking about it. You're not even worried about it. Oh, no, I'm thinking about it, and I prayed about it, but am I worried about it? Not even a little bit. Nope. Because God promised me I have a covenant of peace. God will do what he promised he would do. I'm just going to listen, and I'm going to follow him when he tells me what to do. I'm going to follow him, and it's going to work. See, when that really dawns on you that it's that personal, that he's your heavenly father and he's watching you all the time, not to see how many demerits you get. He's watching you because he loves you. He cares about you. He really does want to see you happy and succeed. When you believe that, then the Bible says you can step into a peace that surpasses all understanding, and that'll guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Here's the last one, number three then. Jesus' lordship is peaceful. That's not a mistake. That's hyphenated on purpose. It's full of peace. Sometimes we talk about Jesus being the Savior and we're so happy that our sins are washed away that, man, anything's better than that. We're just excited about it. But people start talking about his lordship and we're not sure if we want that or not. But that's only because people don't understand that the lordship of Jesus is full of peace. It's full of wholeness. It's full of completeness. It doesn't leave any stone unturned. He's thought about everything. He's got all the resource, all the supply you'll ever need. He's already thought about those long before it ever became a problem for you. As a fatherly figure, he's looking, he's saying, yeah, I can see they're going to need that. Let's go ahead and queue that up right now. And it's right there waiting for you. This is how he works, and so it's full of peace. Listen, when you understand those five things, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When you understand that, then you can read the rest of the verse and it makes sense. Listen to this. It says, of the greatness of his government, his lordship, and peace, there will be no end. Never going to stop. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. And pay attention to this last sentence because it's often overlooked as we just trail off the end of the verse. But this is one of the most important and one of the most exciting to me. It says, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Here's what it says in the New Living Translation. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Here's what it tells me, two things. Number one, pressure's not on me. I want to live life to the full. Am I alone? Does anybody else want to live life to the full? You want to live life to your fullest potential? You don't want to get to the end of your life and think, oh, man, I could have done better. You want to get to the end of life and think, man, that was a great ride. What a great adventure. I never thought I would get that far. I never thought I would enjoy the kinds of things that I enjoyed. That's life to the fullest potential. And the Bible says you don't have to bear the pressure or the responsibility of trying to make that happen. You have the zeal of the Lord of hosts. He's already on it. He's committed. This is his passionate commitment. It's personal to him. You're a family member. He wants to see you succeed. He's thinking when you're not thinking. He's moving when you're not moving. He's gathering and readying when you're not. You're just clueless about it, but he's already moving in that direction because he's passionate about this. In fact, one of my favorite verses in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. In other words, those thoughts, those desires that you're having that, man, I think there's more. I just want to move ahead. And you're trying to see how you can be the best person you can be and how you can be the most loving and giving dad and the husband and the parent and a great neighbor and a great friend and a great family, a great brother. And you're trying to think all those things. Yeah, that's God working in you. Both to will, his plan is moving you that direction, but then he's coaching you, he's giving you his strength, he's giving you his confidence, giving you resource. He's going to make sure you get there. And by the way, he's doing all that not because, well, that's my job, I'm a dad. He's doing it because that's his pleasure. That's what fulfills him in life. That's his biggest excitement, is seeing you do well. And this is what the Bible is trying to tell us. It says the zeal of the Lord is going to do this. Now, I want you to take those thoughts, all right? We have a couple of days left in this year. Well, today and tomorrow. But I want you to take these thoughts and I want you to begin, ask the Holy Spirit, reframe my mind. Help me to understand I'm walking into a brand new year and the deck is stacked in my favor. God says he's going to lead me into all triumph. I can't lose this year. I can have the best year ever. I'm not talking about just ambitiously based on your own strength and your own will. No, I'm going to do it this year. No, based on his promise, based on his goodness, based on his willingness to see. And as you begin to prepare your hearts for the 21 days of fasting and prayer, think about who we're going to go spend time with. This is who we're spending time with. Not some God who's going to see if you can check a list off and you better read your Bible or I'm not going to be happy with you. No, we're leaning into someone who's saying, come on, I got a great plan for you. I'm telling you, trust me, I can get you there. And so 21 days of fasting and prayer, Bible reading and journaling, and our whole endeavor for the month of January for 21 days is for us to rediscover in a brand new light who Jesus really is. He's wonderful. He really is. He's a counselor. He's got an answer to every question, every confusing, intriguing, baffling thing that you're facing. He knows what to do. He's a mighty God. He's got plenty of money. He's got plenty of influence, bosses and opportunities and deals and contracts and businesses. Yeah, the Bible says the heart of the kings are in the hands of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wants it to go. He can make stuff happen you can't even dream about happening. Yeah, God can whisper in the back of a boardroom somewhere and you get the opportunity of your life. This is what he does because you're his kids. And so we're going to learn some things about that. He's an everlasting father. And as we do, we're going to walk through 2019. Not only will we see more things happen for us than we've ever seen before, but we'll be more fulfilled because we'll live a life of peace. No more chaos, no more stress, no more grieving, no more unfulfillment. It's like, no, this feels right. We're not at the end yet, but we're on pace. We're right where the Lord wants us to be. He's moving us. He's catching us up. He's moving us right in line. And you just go to bed at night thinking, Lord, there's still plenty of territory to cover. But I'm so fulfilled. I'm so appreciative that you're just walking me through this. And I'm trusting you'll get me there. How many of you are going to join us for 21 days of fasting and prayer? Now, let me raise your hand. I'm not filming this, by the way. This is not a covenant of God. Okay, this is not a covenant between you and the Lord. This is just you thinking in the moment, saying, yeah, I think I need to make a decisive step. And so if you raised your hand, or if you wanted to raise your hand, but you didn't want to commit yourself early, make that commitment. I'm telling you, God's going to do something for us, and he's going to do it starting in January. And God's going to help us. You've been blessed by God's word this morning? Stand to your feet. Let me pray for you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more information, check us out on the web at lakeshorecf.com.